question.
Yes, sir. What is your name, sir?
January 2017.
We have Mr. Leroy. Who's the Mr. Leroy I have, sir? Okay, the honor of Mr. Leroy to run is your conductor hearing at this time, sir. We will be your lead and the lead panelist. Thank you. Okay, sir, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, sir.
Can you state your full name and ABC number for the record?
Frank Anthony Leroy, 267-560.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the two alleged violations listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on July 2nd, 2018. Is that correct, Mr. Herrera?
Yes, sir.
That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you can hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. See your attorney with you, or are you representing yourself today, sir?
Representing myself.
Thank you. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. They are, if you can see on your teleconference screen, I'll begin with the opposite side of our bench. At the far end, we have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. After him is the Honorable Ms. Gil Rittenhouse. At the center of the bench, we have our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. We have the Honorable Mr. David Neal, and my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel lead for this hearing. Also present in the room is our community corrections officer, or hearing officer, Mr. Westby, and he'll be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer. Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So, Mr. Herrera and Mr. Westby, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
I do.
Thank you very much. Mr. Herrera, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with phase two deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. When I read the two allegations to you, you need to respond whether they are true, false, or you wish to remain silent. The reason why we give you that third option is, according to the warrant of arrest, you have a department report number suggesting that you may have another charge outside of the Department of Corrections. Now, we don't know whether or not that charge has been settled, but this hearing is recorded, so anything you say relating to that case can be subpoenaed by the courts. So again, we usually just ask true or false, but because there's a pending charge, we will ask you whether it's true, false, or you wish to remain silent. But keep in mind, if you believe the allegation is false, the board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections and we can talk about it. The board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you, sir?
Yes.
Okay. I am now going to read from the warrant of arrest. And again, after each allegation, you can tell us whether it is true, false, or you wish to remain silent. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in the criminal measure company as follows. Allegation number one, violation of condition number five, as demonstrated by your behavior of possession of a controlled substance on or about May 25th, 2018 in Mesa, Arizona. Mr. Herrera, is this true or false, or do you wish to remain silent?
True.
True?
True.
Okay, so I'll make sure. And allegation number two, violation of condition number five, as demonstrated by your possession of packaging material commonly used to package illicit substances on or about May 25th, 2018 in Mesa, Arizona. Mr. Herrera, is this true or false, or do you wish to remain silent?
True.
Thank you. Based on Mr. Herrera's admissions, I move to find him delinquent, as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have or have lapsed in the criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
I
think that was seconded by Mr. Neal and agreed upon by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, and Ms. Rittenhouse. Mr. Herrera, we're going to continue with the second phase of the hearing. And it is during this phase that the board will determine whether or not your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Wesby, our hearing officer, our community corrections officer, is going to give us additional background information. If you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly for questions, and you'll be able to speak to the board in detail. Okay, sir?
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Guerrero. Mr. Wesby.
On June 24, 2018, Mr. Guerrero was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested May 25, 2018 by Mesa PD on new felony charge of possession of marijuana, possession of drug paraphernalia, and a new misdemeanor charge of consuming liquor in public. He was back in DOC custody on June 20, 2018 with a projected community supervision end date of August 24, 2018, zero abstain days. Current conviction, 2017, robbery, 2 years, 3 months. Prior convictions, 2011, resisting arrest, 1 year. 2011, destruction of public jail, 1 year. 2011, marijuana violation, 1 year. This is his second term in DOC. CUIR score 3-3. Mental health score 3 with SMI noted. Substance abuse score 3. There's no gang information noted. Prior term of supervision, 2012, TIS release, arrested on tech violation, read CSED prior to seeing the BOEC. His disciplinary violations are moderate with violence noted. Other arrests? There are several arrests noted, however, all charges were dismissed or not processed. His community risk score is a G4B5. I do have an email from Parole Supervisor Flesh on dated July 9th, 2018 that states the offender served time served for the misdemeanor of consuming liquor in public and was placed on probation for the felony possession of drug paraphernalia charge.
Okay, that clears that up. Thank you, Mr. Wesby. Back to you, Mr. Guerrero. With respect, I can see why you were open to the allegations. It sounds like it was already settled in the criminal justice system or with time served for the misdemeanor and you being on probation status for the felony, correct?
Correct.
I want to make a quick review of your case supervision summary. It looks like that you were released from the Department of Corrections to ASPC Tucson Manzanita without an approved residence. So did you find some place to live?
Everything that was told to me from the release of mental health, they told me I was going to get picked up and brought straight to my parole officer that deals with mental health, people, or whatever. They dropped me off the Greyhound and they gave me a piece of paper, but before, you know, they took my picture and ID, they asked me how I was getting home. I told them, you guys are supposed to take me straight over there. Somebody is. I'm not supposed to get picked up. So he said he's going to make a couple phone calls, looks at his paperwork, says, you know what, go have a seat. I'm going to make some calls. I'll let you know. Well, first thing, we jumped in the van. He dropped me off at the Greyhound. I got these papers, and there's two circled addresses, one for Mesa and Phoenix. The last time I got out, it was for Mesa, for probation, so I figured the parole would be in Mesa. I go over there, I get there about 5 o'clock, 4 or 5 in the afternoon, so the office is closed. I'm walking around all day, all night. I get there the next day, I've just been out all day, walking, I don't know the address. They tell me, you gotta go to the one in Phoenix. And so I couldn't get no phone calls, I couldn't tell anybody, I need some help, I need a place to stay. You know, they were supposed to have all that taken care of for me, so it was just like one thing after another. You know, I didn't know which way to go, and when that was happening, that's when I had bought the alcohol, and this guy approached me, and he had $5 worth of weed. And another thing, I MSMI, I hear voices, they were telling me that I had HIV, so I was like, you know, I'll just use that as like medicinal purposes or ceremonial. You know what I mean? That's the only reason why I bought it. That's not like I went and I smoked it. Or, you know, like I got caught up before any of that could happen. I had 2 sips of the beer, you know, and I just believe like a lot of this stuff in my life is like spiritual. That's why I'm here. But I'm not a murderer. I'm not, you know, all these other cats out here. I hope I don't, like, you know, sound like I'm comparing myself to others. You know, I did what I did, so I'm getting corrected for it. But that's what happened, and it's just one thing after another with the officers. I do feel that, because I'm paranoid schizophrenic, but they have been trying to set me up with this homicide case. I don't know what's going on with that, but like, I have my evidence. I didn't know if I should go after them and pursue it, but it's just like one thing after another since 9/11 when they arrested me again in Mesa. You know, everything was just like, it was set up from the whole beginning, and it's just like, I keep trying to tell people, hey, is this right? Is this right? Read my paperwork. It's all there. And you know what I mean? So like, for this to happen right now and me getting released, you know, I don't know what the outcome's going to be, and I don't expect you to feel sorry for me. You know, I mean, I made my bed, I'm lying in it, and that's all I have to say about that.
Okay, well, Mr. Herrera, again, well, let me ask you this quick question. You were arrested the night you were released, is that correct?
It was the second day.
The second day, okay. And those cases have already been handled inside the criminal justice system, so you did time served and you have some additional probation to deal with.
Correct.
You only have what appears to be about 39 days left of your sentence. So the important question is, what's your plan? Like, should this board return you to the community today, and that would still take several weeks because of the administrative process, or whether or not you just wait till the 39 days, what's your plan for when you return to the community? Because you're saying openly, and we have some understanding that you have some SMI issues. So what's your plan? Do you have any support out there? Do you have any family? Can you get some help from your tribe?
Yeah, my tribe is really helping out a lot. That was how I had the money to get on the bus in the first place, because I mean, I did work, so I had about $40 to take the bus. But like I said, I was told I wasn't supposed to pay for that. I was going to get it. You know, everything was going to be taken care of. So when I get out, it's just like, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, because like I said, I'm scared about the next thing with this case. I want to bring up the homicide and Michael Miller and John Hobbs, rest in peace, but I told all those guys, when they went in there arresting me for this, I was like, you guys got bad vibes, I feel something off of you, I don't know if you're corrupt, dirty, or what, but you put handcuffs on me, you got a judge to sign off my warrant, so you must think that you know that I did it, or this judge knows it, but how did you find me anyways in Maryville? My address is in Mesa. So you got me for the killing of Jeff, which is a security guard, and you said my girlfriend was this and that, and it's just like, you know, I don't know what the beef is. I don't know why they want to put me away so bad of what I did, but like I said, if we go back and read my case from 9/11 with Imperial and nine other officers lying about putting the handcuffs on me, and what really went down over there in front of the store of Fry's when they caught me with a knife, you know, for resisting arrest and what they did to me, they were beating me up, man. They were behind the wall.
Well,
and it's just like,
Mr. Herrera, if I'm interrupted, I certainly don't want to deny that there's some other investigation out there, but that's just not anything that we know about or part of what we're here for today. So
okay.
Again, you may need to vent on that, and I get it, but we're here for this case specifically.
Got you.
And and as I stated, you don't have that much time left in the Department of Corrections, regardless of how we vote today. So just a few questions. I already asked you, it seemed that you were arrested very soon after your return. It sounds like it was over drug charges, that was settled very quickly. I asked you about your plans. It sounds like that you never really established a relationship with the community corrections office because things happened so quickly. We don't have any programming or sanctions notes because we didn't even get there. So I guess my last question would be, before I ask my fellow board members if they have any questions, where do you plan on living when you're released from the Department of Corrections?
I get housing for my SMI, and I had an appointment 4 days later when I got released, you know, prior to my release, 4 days I had an appointment, and I'm pretty sure that I already put my name on the list. It was on there for the 2 years that I was down. So I know I had housing coming. This time, you know, I don't know if my name's still on the list or they're going to work with me, but it's just like, from my understanding, being locked up over here at this yard, you know, they slowed down on my meds. They were like, okay, if you need it, come talk to us, but I don't know how they're going to release me or how I'm supposed to get back to Phoenix or Mesa. My family does live in Mesa, and my mom's at a shelter right now with my sister. Like I said, I was told that I was gonna be at a halfway house, for my probation, or parole officer. They were gonna, you know, throw me in a halfway house. And that was another issue about my release date too. They moved it back because I went out as homeless. But like I told them, and I showed them, I was like, this paper, I was like, look, this is the number that I'm supposed to call. They already put me back in the system. I got my clinic back in Mesa. So it's just like, they're gonna help me out with the housing and stuff, as far as I know. Well, it wasn't good enough. He said, well, I still gotta hold back your day, so you're gonna be like another 30 days. You'll be released 30 days later. So I don't know what's really going on with all that. I don't know what's going on from the release of this, from when I get done with this time. But like I said, that's as far as I know, that's what was supposed to happen. That's what's going on.
Okay, sir. I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. Have any questions from fellow board members? Mr. Guerrero, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't tell us anything that you've already shared, but this is your hearing, so is there anything else that you feel that is important for us to know before we deliberate?
You know, if you don't know me, don't judge me. I'm glad that you guys are taking the time from your days and doing this for me. Everything is going as planned. I'll say it like that. I'm very religious, so I think we all meet each other for a reason and things happen. As far as that goes, you know, I just want to get out of here. I want to do my time, and it's just like, now I got another step to the ladder. I just want to do the probation for the next 2 years. Hopefully, you know, I get that right. But it's just like, you know, I think everybody deserves a second. Maybe this is my third chance. But, you know, as far as I know, like I said, I'm dealing with a lot on my plate. It's, you know, it's not voices. Even my own family, you know what I mean? It's just like everything, I don't know who to turn to or trust or open up to. So with that, you know what I'm saying? I take it one day at a time. I'm lucky I'm not really like, you know, I could be in a worse condition than I already am. And I just say, you know, I'm happy to be alive, you know what I'm saying? And to continue throughout this correction process. So with that, that's all I got to say.
Thank you, Mr. Herrera. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, especially because you can hear the discussion, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself. So if you just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision, and we want to thank you for being so pleasant with the board today. Thank you.
Thank you.
The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, this is an unfortunate case. Mr. Herrera was released from the Department of Corrections. It sounds like that there was a little bit of confusion in this transition, and unfortunately, he was arrested again within 48 hours of his release. I'm glad to say that charge has already been dealt with, and he will only be dealing with probation when he's released one way or the other. But based on everything that we gathered today, I'm not finding him a suitable candidate for returning him to community supervision, and I think these last days might be best spent for him putting together a plan for his permanent return, which will be happening pretty soon. But that's where I'll begin the discussion.
Okay.
Then we're going to make a motion, and that is based on the information provided to us in warrant number 2018-W1662, our discussion with Mr. Herrera, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Herrera was delinquent, violating the terms and conditions of supervision and had lapsed or was about to lapse in a familiar company, inasmuch that he was arrested and convicted for possession of an illegal substance.
Second.
Agree.
Seconded by Dr. Wright, agreed upon by Mr. Johnson, Mr. Neal, and Ms. Rittenhouse. Mr. Herrera, your supervision has been revoked and you will be released next month, August 24th, 2018. Again, I think that's about 39 days. We encourage you to take advantage of these last days to put together a plan for your return to the community. You talked about resources on the outside. please take advantage of this time to have a plan in order. If you're going to be going into some sort of program or receiving any assistance from family or tribe, now's the time to get it taken care of. I will say again, and it's certainly not to taunt you, but even if we had returned to the community supervision, probably better than half of that time would have been spent in administrative processing, releasing you. So there's really not that much time you would have had in transition under community supervision. So when you're released, you won't have to deal with a parole office or a community supervision officer. But again, we do encourage you to have a plan so that you can return safely and hopefully be productive. This hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place, and please stay safe out there, Mr. Guerrero.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Please put the 03 back on the phone, sir.